Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host, Tony Martinetti. You may recall, I hope you do, last week I had a conversation with Hilde Gottlieb. Hilde is the author of The Pollyanna Principles, and she had transformative ideas for community benefit organizations to create really monumental change in themselves, their communities, and the world. This week, planned giving fundraising and a gift planning conference. Richard Slutsky is co-author of Thriving in the Comet's Tail, and he's going to explain his ideas for fundraising as the U.S. emerges from recession. His insights apply to your long-term and immediate fundraising work. Then joining me in the studio, John Bacon and Alexandra Brovey. They are officers of the Philanthropic Planning Group of Greater New York. They're coming to talk about the group's May conference, the Philanthropic Planning Symposium. Between the guests on Tony's Take Two, the Blue Pedicure Challenge. What? You'll find out on Tony's Take Two. And also, the IRS Dirty 320,000 list is coming. The IRS is going to release a list of about 320,000 charities that have lost tax-exempt status. That's one-fourth of all the charities in the U.S. And I'll talk about both those things at roughly 32 minutes into the hour on Tony's Take Two. Of course, we take a break right now, and when we return, I will be joined by Richard Slutsky, and we'll be talking about the book he co-authored, Thriving in the Comet's Tail. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, where we're always about big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm going to be joined right now by Richard Slutsky. He's a co-author with Roger Matloff and Richard Ehrlich of Thriving in the Comet's Tail, Nonprofit Investment and Development During the Recovery from the Great Depression. It's published by Multi-Tier Media in New York City. Richard is a director and senior institutional sales representative at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. He's an attorney. He has his Series 7 licensing. He spent several years as a member of senior management for the Jewish Community Foundation of Metro West and United Jewish Federation of Metro West, both in New Jersey. That means he has been in the trenches on the charity side, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to the show. Richard, thanks. Welcome.
Thanks, Tony. It's great being here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you. Are we emerging from recession? You're thriving in the comet's tail, the tail of the recession. Is that where we are?
I think so, Tony, and I'll tell you why. You know, the depth of the recession, the bottom of the recession happened in March of 2009. And so theoretically, right now where we are, well, at least where the economists tell us where we are, is in an expansionary mode. But what I'm concerned about when I chat with nonprofits is a lot of nonprofits sort of froze during the recession. They either did one of two things. They pulled money out of the equity markets because they were very concerned about if the bottom was actually reached in March, they were concerned, March of 2009, they were concerned that it could go down farther, so they pulled money out. Some of them never put money back in the equity markets and lost the, you know, more than 70% increase in stocks that we've seen since March of 2009. Mm-hmm. Or nonprofits have never really did anything other than stick to their guns and keep to their asset allocation. I think in both cases, it's time for nonprofits to review their situation. And what we're seeing, at least in our financial practice, is that nonprofits are spending the time, you know, in the last year reviewing their investment practices to make sure that they are able to sort of escape from the depth of the recession and to make sure that they have their financial house in order for the next, you know, for the foreseeable future.
And let's talk about the intersection between that investment management and fundraising for nonprofits. Your book really advocates breaking down the walls between those two. What's the problem there?
Yeah, I think it's multifold, Tony, and I'll share some thoughts from both sides of the aisle, the investment side and the plan giving side.
Okay.
First, on the investment side, let's take a typical investment committee. Who's on the investment committee? All right, people from the investment field. Maybe there are financial advisors or people that actually spend time managing money, and maybe there's people that are savvy, affluent donors to the organization, and maybe there are people that are on the programmatic side of the organization that sit on the investment committee, either as a committee member or like as an ex officio, you know, staff person. A lot of times, those people in their normal day-to-day investment practice don't really see or know much about charitable remainder trusts or charitable gift annuities. They can manage buckets or pools of money, because that's what they do, you know, in their day-to-day professional practice. But they are oftentimes not very familiar with the nuances of managing a charitable trust or a charitable gift annuity. They don't understand the spending rates. They don't understand the liability that the organization has to make those payments. So that's a big concern of ours, the me and my co-authors, that a lot of investment committees may be very savvy folks, but just may not understand the depth of issues dealing with investing for plan gifts. Now let's talk about the other side of the aisle.
Yeah,
the
Richard, before you do that, I want to keep you out of jargon jail. We have jargon jail here on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. So you mentioned charitable gift annuities and the charitable remainder trust. I'm just going to do it briefly just so that people know that those are vehicles that pay income back to the donor for their lifetime. And there are subtle differences between the two. But the important thing to know, I think, for our conversation is that the person who's in charge of investing has two goals. And one is investing for income because there's income back to the donor. And the other is investing for long-term remainder, because the remainder goes to the charity. So I just wanted to keep you out of jargon jail, and I wanted to do it just quickly, Richard. Excuse me.
I'm glad you did, and I hope to stay out of jail for the rest of
the
interview.
I'll warn you if you come close.
Okay, great.
Go ahead, please. Look at the other side.
So, yeah, let's talk about the development committee and development professionals who are focused on getting in front of major donors and engaging them in a cultivation effort to ultimately lead to a solicitation of a gift. And oftentimes when you're dealing with, you know, major donors and you want to pursue some kind of planned gift or endowment opportunity, you're going to be talking about fairly significant dollars. And one of the concerns that I and my other co-authors have Giselle, what happens when a development professional is in charge, is in front of someone who, and now they're going to ask for a major gift? It could be $50,000, it could be $100,000, it could be, you know, a present gift, or it could be a future gift. And what happens if the donor then says, you know, Mr. Martinetti, thank you very much. Let me consider that gift. But let me ask you, Mr. Martinetti, what would you do? What would your organization do if I did give you $50,000 or $100,000? How are you going to manage that money? And oftentimes, the development professional may not have the information at hand about how that money is managed. They may not know who's managing the money. They may not know exactly how much is in the endowment for the organization. And I think just like any investor to any financial services firm or mutual fund wants to know, you know, how is this going to work and how big am I in relation to everything else, I think the development person needs to be apprised as to a little bit more about how the investments run in their organization, so they can be they can communicate that to the donor and give them a sense of security that their money will be prudently managed once it's housed at the nonprofit.
Richard, we're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll talk about the integrated financial resource consultant and how that position sort of bridges the gap that that you see and describe in your book. This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. I'm with Richard Slutsky, co-author of Thriving in the Comet's Tail. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. My guest is Richard Slutsky, co-author of Thriving in the Comet's Tail. Richard, let's talk about the integrated financial resource consultant that you advocate for in the book. What is that position?
The idea behind an integrated financial resource consultant is someone who has the understanding of working with an investment committee of a nonprofit to help guide them in developing a long-term asset management strategy, but at the same time have the sensitivity to the fundraising needs of the organization and also understand how to manage those unusual assets that we talked about earlier, the charitable trust, the charitable gift annuity. And, you know, truth be told, I'm not sure how many financial advisors have that. And we really wrote in our book about the integrated financial resource consultant as sort of an idyllic kind of person. And, you know, we think we fit that mold. But, you know, I think what I would do if I were a nonprofit executive or a volunteer, and we were searching for a team to manage our money, is to find an individual or a team that has greater sensitivity to both sides that we've discussed. And you know, it's interesting, Tony. There is an accreditation that is available through a nonprofit called the American College in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And they call that the Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy. It's not as well known in the nonprofit space as it is in the financial services space. And it's a kind of accreditation that financial advisors can obtain through this American College. It's actually quite rigorous. It's about three modules and a lot of study. And when I hear of individuals that have taken that course, and I've taken that course, mm-hmm. I recognize that they do have that kind of sensitivity that we're trying to articulate in the book, because I just think it makes for a better service delivery mechanism for the organization, because now they're working with an advisor that's not looking at the bucket as just another endowment bucket or a bucket of assets similar to a retirement plan. It's a fund of money that they're much more attuned to the use of and what the complexities are of managing a nonprofit endowment or other type of nonprofit funds.
But what does the integrated financial resource consultant mean for current plan giving directors or officers?
Yeah, I think. Go ahead.
No, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
What does it mean for
the
people who are in those positions now?
Yeah. What I think that means is they would speak, the integrated financial resource consultant would speak the language of a plan giving person. They would understand what charitable gift annuities are, for instance, and they would understand the fact that there are some, I'll call it cash liquidity issues that need to take place. If I have to make a cash distribution for a charitable gift annuitant that's due on May 1st, I better have cash available for it, and I better talk to my managers to make sure that there's liquid funds so that the organization can distribute checks or do direct deposits. That's a level of nuance that not all financial advisors have, because they may not understand what charitable gift annuities actually are.
Okay, and when you refer to that need for cash, you're referring to the income that I explained earlier before the break that has to be paid to annuitants for charitable gift annuities.
That is correct, Tony. And my concern is that a lot of financial advisors look at a pool of nonprofit management funds as very long-term, where you can, you know, have a large equity exposure and the money's going to go, you know, on ad infinitum, and maybe the charity pulls out, you know, 3, 4, or 5%, but there's not a lot of other, you know, workings of that bucket. And when we're talking about gift annuities, because the money's coming out maybe quarterly, maybe monthly, and the size depends on, again, the annuity rates that are set and, you know, what kind of annuitants they have. There's a lot more complexity to the situation that a financial advisor should be apprised of.
Yeah, Richard, what does the integrated financial resource consultant contribute to outright giving, just immediate gifts, putting aside the planned gifts?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it depends. If it's just a normal stock transaction or cash transaction that is underlying the direct gift, most financial advisors can do that. The nuances are where someone wants to give something little bit more unique. For instance, closely held stock. In other words, stock that is not seen on, you know, an exchange, but maybe a stock in a family business. That is, you know, an unusual asset. What is a, how does a financial advisor deal with that? Or a gift of, you know, real estate, or a gift of tangible, you know, property, jewelry, you know, gold, et cetera. So the question is, you know, how does that financial advisor going to, do they understand sort of the red flags that have to be dealt with before those kinds of assets can be turned into cash?
Okay. I'm with Richard Slutsky. He's the co-author with Roger Matloff and Richard Ehrlich of Thriving in the Comet's Tail, published by Multi-Tier Media in New York City. Richard, what does this position, again, the integrated financial resource consultant, have to contribute in terms of approaching the entrepreneurial generation? You talk about that in the book.
Yeah, I think that that generation has a much different psychological makeup.
Yeah, say a little about that. Why are they giving? What motivates them?
Yeah, obviously it's case by case, but if you want to speak in generalities, I would say that the World War II generation, you know, they came back to, you know, after, you know, being embattled, and really looked at, you know, the community as a whole. They really weren't so concerned about, what does this particular nonprofit mean to me? I'm not a psychology major, but I've been told that one of the ways to look at the sort of generational differences, that the older generation worked on guilt. In other words, you see a poor child, then you would give money because you want to help that child. The younger generation is more Jungian, where it's like, how does this charity make me feel? How does this charity make me feel about myself? Well, I feel better if I give to this charity. And I think the other, you know, issue about the younger generation, meaning, you know, those between, let's say, 20s and 50s, I think that generation looks at charities like a business, and so I think they're much more focused on sort of the bottom line of that organization and not looking, again, on guilt issues or, you know, will that, you know, does that organization sort of solve the problem, but more on, you know, let me look at the balance sheet of this organization to make sure that it's operating efficiently and effectively.
Okay, and how does the consultant approach that generation, the entrepreneurial generation?
Well, I think the idea here is that the integrated financial resource consultant would spend time with the charity and the development staff to make sure that the deliverables that the nonprofit are articulating to the donors are sort of well refined, to make sure that the messaging is really targeted to that sort of younger group that's going to be looking at the balance sheet. For instance, those are the kind of people that are going to be looking at, some of your audience will know about CharityNavigator.org, mm-hmm. which actually rates charities in terms of efficiency, just like Morningstar rates mutual funds. That's the kind of group that may be, you know, attentive to that kind of website. So they have to show that the charities have to show that they're running efficiently, you know, leanly, and then they're not putting a lot of money into administrative and development staff positions, but they're focusing all their attention, or most of their attention, on their charitable mission.
Yeah, and you make a pretty strong point about approaching the entrepreneurial generation appropriately, because they are our future. They're the future donors. Well, they're today's donors as well as tomorrow's planned giving donors.
Yeah, and that gets back to the transfer of wealth issue, Tony. You know, obviously there's been a huge number of studies done about how the older generation, as they pass, is leaving money to charity, but the money that they're not leaving to charity is going to their children, and those children are going to control it by themselves, you know, billions of dollars, and that's who the charities are going to have to convince to give. And honestly, I think it's, in a way, much harder for charities to to solicit the younger people, because it's more of a case-by-case individual messaging than, you know, a broad direct marketing piece or, you know, advertising that would appeal, that would be a very good appeal to the older audiences. So it's going to take a lot more work for the charities to overcome the objections, if you will, of the younger generation.
Mm-hmm. And since you're talking a little about the wealthy, what's affluenza? You spend a little time in the book talking about affluenza. Why don't you share that?
Yeah, and I've seen it here, you know, in our financial services firm, where mm-hmm. we have very high net worth individuals who are very concerned that they're, and these are off most of the time self-made individuals, they're very concerned that as they leave a legacy to their children, the children or the next generation, the grandchildren, are going to squander it. And it's a huge concern, and in a way that plays well to the charities, because so many people, and I used to think it was just sort of the Warren Buffetts of the world who said at one point, I want to leave my children enough so that they do something, but not so much that they do nothing.
Mm, yes.
And that philosophy, I think, has trickled down into, instead of the super wealthy, the modestly wealthy or just the affluent. And so even if, you know, we'll see what happens with estate taxes, but my point is that people only want to leave now, I think, a specific amount of money for their children, not just an unlimited amount, because they're not sure what's going to happen with their children and grandchildren. And, where else are they going to be able to, you know, spend that money or give it away? They're going to give it away to charities. So I think that could bode well for the future. So affluenza is the dreaded disease of the ultra-rich, that where they're concerned about how that money, ends up being used by their children. But, I think it could bode well for charities.
Yeah, and so what does it mean for fundraisers approaching people who have that the concerns you're talking about?
Well, if I were back in fundraising, self-evident, I would be focusing on the ultra affluent, because those are the people that are probably most concerned about it. For instance, if I'm working with someone that has $10 million or more, the likelihood is that they're not going to give, if they have two children, they're probably not going to give both children $5 million. Maybe they'll give them $1 million or two, but some of the money is going to have to go to charity. But if I'm dealing with someone with $3 million and they have two children, is some of the money going to go to charity? Less of a probability. Some of it may, but maybe not to the same extent as it would be for a high net worth individual. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's very hard to find someone these days, and I may be wrong about this, but in my experience, to find someone that's ultra affluent who leaves everything to the children for the affluenza discussion we just had.
And of course, in planned giving fundraising, we never want to ignore those who are not high net worth, but may just be very modest donor potential.
Absolutely. You always want to hit everybody, because you never know. I mean, we've all heard stories about the school teacher in Mississippi that left everything to charity. But I think from a probability standpoint, that's where I'd be focusing my time. And, it's hard to, you can't really focus on affluenza. That's just something that you have to sort of keep in the back of your mind. And I think when you start to cultivate an individual, I think you'd want to find out what kind of relationship they have with their children and what kind of legacy they want to leave to the children and to the charity. I think mm-hmm. those are fair game questions.
Mm-hmm. And then in having that conversation, you'll also find out what their relationship is to their wealth, and what their children's relationship is to the family money.
And what concerns they may have about how that wealth gets translated to the family. I think the more that a lot of people don't think about this. They don't think about what's going to happen once they pass away. But I think there is a path that a plan giving person could walk down to engage a donor in that kind of discussion without being, without it going in a bad direction.
Yeah. Richard Slutsky, we have to leave it there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony. I enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure. Richard Slutsky, co-author of Thriving in the Comet's Tail. When we return, it's Tony's Take Two, and then I'll be joined by John Bacon and Alexandra Brovey, and we'll be talking about the Philanthropic Planning Symposium in New York City. So please stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. It's time for Tony's Take Two. The Blue Pedicure Challenge. It was a success. A bunch of high school friends on Facebook enlisted me in a challenge. If they got my the show's Facebook page to 300 likes by today, which is Friday, April 29th, at midnight, then I would go to a spa and get a blue pedicure and videotape it. And I'll obviously post the video somewhere that everybody can see it. And they were successful around 10:30 this morning. So with more than 12 hours to spare, a 7-year-old son of a high school friend liked the show and became like number 300. So I will be getting a blue pedicure in accordance with, pursuant to the Blue Pedicure Challenge. There'll be more about that when the event actually takes place. A little more serious, the IRS dirty 320,000 list is coming. The IRS is going to be releasing a list of about 320,000 charities that have lost tax-exempt status because they failed to file the required return for three consecutive years. And that number is about a quarter, roughly a quarter, of all the charities in the U.S. So it's pretty startling. There'll certainly be many in every state. The list will be broken down a few different ways, but one of them will be by state, and you'll be able to see which charities this applies to. Certainly, a lot of them are charities that are just not functioning, but we fear that a lot of them are functioning and just haven't been filing. There's more about the IRS Dirty 320,000 list on my blog at mpgadv.com. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, April 29th. In the studio with me now are John Bacon and Alexandra Brovey. They're here to talk about the New York Philanthropic Planning Symposium. John Bacon is president of the Philanthropic Planning Group of Greater New York, and he's also the director of planned giving at the New York Public Library. Alexandra Brovey is vice president of the Philanthropic Planning Group of Greater New York and chair of the organization's Philanthropic Planning Symposium. That's volunteer work that she does for that group. She is the senior director of gift planning for North Shore Long Island Jewish Health System Foundation. And I'm glad that the symposium brings John and Alexandra to the show. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Alexandra, it's okay if I call you Alex, right?
Absolutely.
As the chair of the symposium, why don't you start telling us what's the purpose of the conference?
Sure. Well, our conference this year will be on May 26th, which is a Thursday, at the New York Marriott Marquis.
The New York Philanthropic Planning Symposium is our annual one-day conference. The purpose is educational. To bring everyone together, we expect between 200 and 250 people. We have speakers coming from various parts of the country in three different tracks, and it's just going to be a great day.
All right. John, what's the Philanthropic Planning Group of Greater New York all about as president?
Yeah, it's an educational group, so the symposium is very much part of our educational purpose. Also, importantly, all of our events are great networking events for people in the field and allied professionals. And in fact, I think a lot of people see the value as that community and the networking. People find jobs, make connections, and it's really been a valuable resource for many of us, including myself. I found my current job at the New York Public Library at a plan giving luncheon 8 years ago.
All right.
And coming out of the for-profit world into the nonprofit, and that kind of thing happens constantly. So it's a great professional organization with strong networking opportunities.
And who are the members?
It's traditionally been plan giving officers working for charities, but a lot of allied professionals, as I mentioned. Richard Slutsky, who was just speaking on the program earlier, is a member and, in fact, a board member. So people in the finance world, accountants, quite a few independent consultants like yourself and different folks. So it's across the board. But anyone interested in what is now called gift planning as opposed to plan giving, and our name has changed several times to reflect those changes in the overall field.
Yeah, let's talk a little about that. It used to be the Planned Giving Group of Greater New York. So that was
right.
PGGNY, P-G-G-G-N-Y.
Right.
It's still PGGNY, but now it's P-P-G-G-N-Y. Why the change from the former PGGNY to the current PGGNY?
That reflects a change at the national level. Our council was originally called the Deferred Giving Group, which says a lot.
But how many years back is that?
That's in the early 70s, right after the 69 Tax Act, which in effect codified a lot of the things that we now use as tools for people to give. But then we were the council, independent council, Plan Giving Group of Greater New York. The National Committee on Plan Giving, we're one of the founding councils of that. They changed their name to the Partnership for Philanthropic Planning a few years back. And we, in turn, changed our name to kind of blend in better with the national change, but keeping our acronym, which people like.
Yeah, the PGGNY, right. Was that national change reflecting a change in sort of, it's a broadening. Yeah. It's not just planned giving. Now it's philanthropic
Correct.
Planning. So bringing in those advisors you mentioned?
Very consciously bringing in advisors and even more importantly, bringing in our peers, major gift officers, and others working with individuals at the charity level. And we find increasingly that traditional plan giving shops or departments or silos, as some of us have called them, at charities are being broken down. And we wanted to be more inclusive and to encourage people who have blended jobs or just to have major gifts people come because gift planning should be part of their work as well.
Okay. And that's also very consistent with what Richard was just talking about,
right.
Breaking down the walls between asset management and fundraising.
Right. And I think Alex's title is a good example of a different one. I'm an old school plan giving person, but there are fewer and fewer of us around with that in their title.
Okay. Alex's title at North Shore is Senior Director of Gift Planning.
Correct. And there are also people who have philanthropic planning in their title, which would be more closely akin to the name change. And then there are people who are individual gift planners who do a combination of, or what we call a blended gift. So you're not necessarily going after just the traditional plan gift. You're going after the gift that's best for the person in front of you and your organization.
And in the conference, Alex, you're the chair. It's organized for all the professionals that we're talking about? There's something there for everyone?
There's something there for everyone. And this year, we've actually restructured a little bit. We want to try to help out our accounting members and friends and even non-members who are invited to come to the conference. We restructured a little bit this year. In the prior year, we had four different tracks going. This year, we decided we'd have three tracks, and we introduced a plenary speaker. I'd like to take a moment to mention our plenary speaker.
Yeah, sure. Who's that?
She's Beth Shapiro Kaufman. She's a member in Kaplan and Drysdale's Washington, D.C. office. She's coming to talk to us a little bit about what she did when she worked for the IRS on the other side and what she does now and what she thinks might happen in 2013. And she can speak freely now that she has a different employer.
So plenary. So is she the keynote speaker?
She'll be our keynote or plenary speaker, which will be first thing in the morning. And then we'll have three different tracks, three sessions per track. So the rest of the day, there'll be a mid-morning session, a luncheon at which we'll conduct some Pygmy business, some elections and other items, and then two sessions in the afternoon, and then we'll cap off the day with a reception. It's a wonderful day.
Okay. And again, the day, May 26th of this year. And where is it being held?
At the New York Marriott Marquis.
Okay. Let's acquaint people with some of the other speakers besides your keynote speaker. What are some of the highlights of speakers?
Sure. We're going to have two panels. I'll actually let John mention one of the panels because this is something that our members really matter and they really make a difference. And they're the ones that set the stage for what we do at Pygmy. So our members had a wonderful meeting in April. A suggestion came out of that meeting and we actually revised a panel and we're moving from there. I'll let John mention that for a moment, if I may.
Yeah, please, John.
Yeah, we have these master forums, as Alex was just alluding to, meant for senior members of our group to get together in a smaller setting and talk through things. And NITMIFA, which I will garble here, but the New York Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act, which you may have discussed on your show.
But not this show. So I want to keep you out of jargon jail. So why don't you give a quick explanation of what the New York Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act is, John.
Yes.
You walked into the quagmire. Now you're going to have to claw yourself out.
Basically, our friends in Albany saw fit to adapt the Uniform Management of Institutional Funds Act, Management of Institutional Funds Act, in their own distinct way. And many of us at the charitable side are dealing with trying to implement certain requirements of the New York version of this law. It does give us a lot more liberty to spend and manage endowed funds in particular and other institutional funds, but it has certain peculiar requirements, the most worrisome of which is a notice requirement to donors of older funds. And this is for those of you who work at charities or are donors, it's not always welcome to receive a letter asking you to elect a treatment on your fund. It's led to a lot of confusion, some unhappiness, and it's just a unnecessary, that came out wrong. It's just a aspect of the law that's less than optimal.
Okay, and I'll remind listeners that we did have Kathy Boyle on from Chapin Hill Advisors several shows ago for the full hour talking about the New York Prudent Management of Institutional Funds Act, which is based on the Uniform Act that that John's talking about. Okay, a little digression, but John got us in the quicksand, so all right, we're out. No jargon jail. And you were talking about the Masters series, John.
Yes, we had four Alexes here?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, before our regular luncheon programs, which are every, third Wednesdays of the month, eight times a year. And the Masters Forum have just been a great place for people to have high-level discussions on topical issues, including NITMIFA.
Okay. And there's something for the Masters in the symposium, Alex.
Exactly. So there are actually three tracks this year. One of them is Masters. Second one is Nuts and Bolts. And the third one is a new track called Innovation.
Okay. And we're going to talk about those when we return from this break. Please stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Do you love movies? Then join me and share your opinions about them on the radio. This is Mike, a movie fan like you. Starting May 10th, join me every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. for my new show, Movie Time, on TalkingAlternative.com. Call me live or email me at MovieTimeRadio@gmail.com. We'll talk about all the blockbusters, who's the best director, and which movies are overrated, among many other topics. Join me for Movie Time, Tuesdays at 6 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m., for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio.
big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. I'm with John Bacon, president of the Philanthropic Planning Group of Greater New York, and Alex Brovey, vice president of the group and chair of the organization's Philanthropic Planning Symposium, which is what we're talking about today. And Alex, right before the break, you were acquainting us with the three tracks that you have. Please.
Yeah, so in prior years, we had four tracks. This year, we have three. So our nuts and bolts track is really meant to assist those new to gift planning or those who need a refresher of the basics. And we'll have three different presentations. One will be a panel, intriguingly entitled, We Are All Planned Giving Officers Now, that's actually meant for our major gift colleagues and others who want to come and just talk about the fact that everyone is expected to do a little bit in this area of planned giving or gift planning now.
Interesting. Yeah, so that's really interesting. We're seeing this integration and this breaking down of walls, as my first guest Richard talked about, as you heard some of that, we alluded to. This really is a trend that is significant.
Absolutely, and that has to go back to the name change at the national level and at our local level, and what we're actually doing and what we're all actually seeing. So the reality of it is, planned giving people raise outright gifts. People who are expected to raise outright monies might combine that with a planned gift. It's all what's appropriate for the donor in front of you.
And the challenge for the gift officer, whatever seat they might be sitting in, is having to learn a little more. Is that John? Is that right, John?
Yes, and in particular, we have a lot of experience with older donors. Our group tends to skew older, and there are issues about getting old, mental competency, health, and other things that we're sensitive to that, frankly, some of our individual giving or major gift friends are not as sensitive to. But again, as Alex said, it's really about being donor-centered, and donors, in fact, are our clients if we're on the charity side, and literal clients of our advisor colleagues. So it's really just doing the right thing by the donor, and sometimes that's a blended gift.
And you mentioned, John, that your title at the public library is still planned giving, director of planned giving.
Yeah. But
are you seeing the integration there across fundraising or not so much or what?
Not so much in our case, primarily because we have individual financial goals in the different silos in our shop. But I think that's going to change. It really has to change.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm asking you because the public library is, you know, a venerated, old line charity in the country.
Right. And in a sense, we're a large shop as well, so that those distinct groups can exist to some degree. There were four people in my group recently, so it's a big plan giving group. And there are over 40 people in our overall development department. So it's a big group. But I think even in smaller charities especially, where there may only be one or two people dealing with individuals, they have to do all of those things. Mm-hmm. And we, again, hope to be a resource for people who are interested in gift planning.
Okay. And that becomes the challenge, especially then for the very small shop. I mean, let's take a charity that maybe is just a founder and one other person. That founder, executive director, has enormous challenges, but they'll find something for themselves and for their organization at the symposium?
Absolutely. And I think Alex mentioned the nuts and bolts session.
And that's the nuts and bolts track we're talking about.
And one or two of the other sessions might just spur a thought or be applicable to a certain situation they're facing. And again, I think almost as important is the networking, meeting other people in the same situation, talking to board members and others there who have a lot more experience. And it's really a great sharing experience all the whole day.
And Alex, how about the other tracks?
Sure. So the other two tracks are the master's track. This past year, as John mentioned earlier, we started what we called a master's forum for the more experienced members of our group who wanted to have something that was a little more challenging or something at their level. Some of these people have been members for perhaps two decades and have been doing 20 or 30 years of work in planned giving or now gift planning. Our master's track is for those who are more experienced or for those who want to challenge themselves a little bit. We have the panel John described earlier, and off the top of my head, we also have someone discussing charitable lead trusts, which is a higher level technique that donors who may be up against the $5 million and up estate tax issue might be willing to consider.
Okay.
So we try to offer something for every level. So we talked about nuts and bolts. We talked about the masters. Our third and new track this year is innovation. And innovation focuses on the art and psychological aspects of gifts. And I think it's that to which John might have been alluding recently. So there is something for everyone there. This will be more the, I don't want to call it the soft part, but this might be why someone would want to make a gift or how you broach a person in the correct way in order to get the best result in the end.
That's interesting, the innovation. You said that's a new track. Did that come out of the advice that you got from members from last year?
Well, in a way it did, because every year we survey our members. We actually survey them after every luncheon, all eight luncheons, and we take their advice to heart. And what we're seeing throughout the year is that people had some technical programs during the lunches, and we try to mix it up a little bit and offer someone the rest of what they do. So the other part of what you do is the relationship side, and that's probably even the more important side, you could argue, regardless of your level of knowledge about this plan giving or gift planning aspect. You need to be able to develop the relationship with the donor or the client. So that's kind of how that came about. A little part of the board looking at what we didn't provide for members this year, and then a small part of what we can do based on member feedback.
Okay. And of course, we're talking about the symposium on May 26th, but Pygney also does host monthly luncheons, you mentioned. Why don't you say a little about those, John?
Sure. During the off-summer months, every third Wednesday generally, we have a luncheon program with a featured speaker, and again, a networking session beforehand, which is a really quite important part of it. And generally, pre-luncheon in the morning, we'll have either a master's forum or a beginner's seminar. That was the pattern this year. In years past, we've had the same speaker do a morning session and then speak at lunch. So check it out. And I think we didn't give you our website.
Yeah,
but all this is on the website, which is www.ppggny.org.
Okay.
And you'll be able to register for the symposium there and to find out about membership for next year. And we'll resume those monthly luncheons in September.
Okay. Alex, what's the cost of registration?
We have costs based on whether a person is a member or a non-member. So our members get a little bit of a break. It's $275 to register anytime up until a couple of days before the conference. Non-members are $350, and if you bring an additional person from the same organization, $300.
All right. That is the Philanthropic Planning Symposium here in New York City on May 26th. Again, the place to go to register is www.ppggny.org. You'll find out about the group and also the registration for the symposium there. I want to thank John Bacon, president of the Philanthropic Planning Group of Greater New York, and Alex Brovey, vice president of the group and chair of the organization's Philanthropic Planning Symposium. Alex, John, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you. Next week, it's going to be Craig Newmark. Craig is the founder of Craigslist, and he's going to be my guest. He's going to be with me to talk about Craig Connects, his latest venture, which helps connect people of goodwill for the common good by highlighting nonprofits that are making an impact. I hope you'll be with me for that conversation with Craig Newmark. Of course, again, I want to thank my guests today, Richard Slutsky, John Bacon, and Alex Brovey. You can keep up with what's coming up. Sign up for our insider email alerts on the Facebook page. If you go to the Facebook page, you'll see quite a bit about the Blue Pedicure Challenge as well, until that scrolls away. But the video will be coming soon. I promised video documentation. You will get it. While you're there, you can like us, become a fan of the show. Always, the show is on iTunes. You can subscribe. Automatic downloads, of course. Listen on the device of your choice anytime you like. You'll find our iTunes page at nonprofitradio.net. Creative producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Claire Meyerhoff. Our line producer is Sam Leibowitz, and Sam is also the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting. And our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media, who did an outstanding job helping to promote the Blue Pedicure Challenge. I also want to give a special thanks to Bobby Friedel. He is a professional photographer. He's in the studio today. He's shooting stills. He's shooting video. That'll all be available on the Facebook page as well as soon as we get that all together. So a special thank you to Bobby Friedel. This is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, always talking about big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I hope you'll be with me next week, next Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, here on Talking Alternative Broadcasting, which is always at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Do you love movies? Then join me and share your opinions about them on the radio. This is Mike, a movie fan like you. Starting May 10th, join me every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. for my new show, Movie Time, on TalkingAlternative.com. Call me live or email me at MovieTimeRadio@gmail.com. We'll talk about all the blockbusters, who's the best director, and which movies are overrated, among many other topics. Join me for Movie Time, Tuesdays at 6 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day.